In applying the Lordship of Christ to all areas of life, we also want to look at how to fail in life. If you're going to do something, do it properly. The scripture talks about those who have made a shipwreck of their faith. And indeed, there are many different ways that you can make a shipwreck of your faith. If you want to fail in life, then don't plan ahead. If you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. Don't think of the future. Don't make any sacrifices. If it feels good, do it. And we have all kinds of shipwrecks around. You can visit not just, we've got about 300 shipwrecks around the Cape Peninsula, by the way. We're not far from the Birkenhead, which went down not far from here because it was an unsinkable ship. Live for the moment. Don't worry about the past. Don't think about the future. Just live for now. You don't need to check if your board's facing the right direction. You don't need to proofread. You don't need to check if you forgot anything when you get in the car and drive away. And yes, I mean, where did I put that handbag anyway? And blame others. I mean, be bitter. Harbor grudges. Demand your rights. Always stand up for yourself because it's not your fault. And you don't need advice from others. You know what's best. Sometimes it's better to reverse in. And yes, I mean, what could go wrong? Insist on everything being done your way. Remember to always be pessimistic. Have a problem for every solution. Be negative. Be critical of others. Many people have a gift of criticism and a ministry of discouragement. Participate in gossip. That really can lead to good failure. And yes, don't ask, is there a better way of doing things? Perhaps a smaller vehicle would have done to deliver this box. And what could go wrong? But trust in the government. They know what they're doing. And yes, right. If you were to follow every sign, you could be in serious trouble. Don't assume that the official sign's always right. And don't worry about your own security, because the government's on top of it. They look after you. And after all, they're investigating the matter. The police are sometimes the first on the scene of an accident. How do some people get into these situations? Live on the edge. Push your limits. It's your body. You have a right to choose to do with it whatever you want. Be selfish. Strive to be popular. I mean, what could go wrong? I mean, yeah, it's amazing what a mess you can make when you just push the limits. And I mean, why do you need the break anyway? How on earth do some people do some of these things? How do you turn a tank upside down? Hire, purchase anything you want. Don't do the maths. Live in debt. Max out your credit cards. I mean, Jesus might come before you've got to pay them off. Gamble. Take a chance. You're on your way to Cape Town. They've got a sign for Grand West. We call it Grand Theft, which is the casino. And they say, take a chance. You could win a million. Yeah, you could lose everything you've got as well. Because if you overload things, it's bound to break down. Always buy lotto tickets. As I pointed out to my children, when you see a long line of people buy the lotto thing, these people can't do maths. You've got 5 times greater chance of being struck by lightning than winning the lottery. Why do you think the casinos always look so opulent? Why do you think people like Saul Kersen, who run casinos, are billionaires? The house always wins. I've spoken to some people said, I won at the casino. And how much did you lose before and afterwards? Yeah, well, more, but they won. Okay, I came away with less than I went with, but there was a sense of winning. But you kept gambling till you lost everything you won, yes. And then I went and drew more money and lost all that too. Yep, well, visit the casino wherever you can. It's a guaranteed way to destroying your life. Experiment and indulge in every vice. Cigarettes, alcohol, drugs. They coffin nails and lowers your life expectancy, blows away brain cells, but so what? Don't worry about your health. Don't think about tomorrow. Yes, this is why you need to actually do calculations. This is why we teach children with building blocks. Some things balance, some things don't. Give in to pagan peer pressure. Immerse yourself in the world's, let's call it music, shall we? Fashion, fads, films, friends. What could possibly go wrong? Spend lots of time paging through worldly magazines. You never know what sins and temptations you may come across. Spend, spend, spend. Sometimes there are doors that you should not open. And there are times that it's wise to look first. And why pray when you can worry? Don't read the Bible or think about God or consider any issues in the light of eternity and the day of judgment. That's a long time away. It's such a long way ahead. Why do you need to worry about it now? Well, yes, some things do come on us a little unexpectedly. Death and eternity amongst them. Don't think about others. Let your personal theme song be, I did it my way. That, by the way, was sung by Frank Sinatra, who was sharing girlfriends with the mafia and things like that, and not exactly a good idea. If you want to be an ultimate failure in life, it's very important never volunteer and never commit yourself. Look after number one, me, myself, and I. Be self-centered. Don't take personal responsibility. It's not my fault. Never my fault. It's always somebody else's fault. For anything. Listen to gossip. It's nice to poison your mind. Pass the poison on to others. Forward any slanderous email onto as many other people as you can around the world. Use your whole e-list. Love your sins and love the deceptions and the lies which enslave you. Criticize those who try to warn you of the deceptions in the world. Your personal feelings and your desires now, that's what really matters. After all, you're a good person. Okay, that's how to fail in life. How do you succeed? Trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your life to the Lord and trust also in him. Psalm 37, 3-5 is one of the most important verses to memorize and to apply. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander of every kind. The world wants to push you into its mode. The world wants to get its poison and its hatred and its jealousy and its self-centeredness into you to keep you away from God. As friends of mine who were prisoners of the communists said, after much tortures in Angola, this one man said to the Cubans who were torturing him, why don't you just kill us and get it over with? And the response of the Cuban said, oh no, we don't want to kill you and send you to heaven with God. We want you to curse Christ and come to hell with us for all eternity. I've heard that in different words from different people in Eastern Europe and so on, who have heard the same words given in same sentiment in slightly different words. Misery loves company. Do not go about spreading slander amongst your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19, 15 to 16. Be very careful in how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Be filled with the Word of God. If God's words abide in you and you abide in him, then you can ask anything and it'll be given to you. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. The eyes of the Lord are ranging throughout the world, even within this hall here at this campsite, looking for hearts that are fully committed to him to strengthen him. The Lord looks at the heart. He's the only one who does. He knows our inner motivations. In the light of eternity, those who want to succeed should fear God alone. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We should delight ourselves in the Lord and seek first his kingdom, placing his word, the scriptures, above all things. God's word. This is the foundation for all true ultimate success. The successful Christian studies his Bible every day. Prayer is an integral part of his daily life. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey, as we sung. A successful Christian honors his elders, humbles himself before the Lord, takes personal responsibility, and forgives freely and regrets and repents promptly. Those are guidelines to quick success. Always ask, what does the Bible say? Back to the Bible. Do to others as you want them to do to you. Is this what I'd want someone else to do to me? Would I want someone else to assume the gossip about me is true, pass it on to others? And for your prayers, did you know? Have you heard? I mean, you can spiritualize it. So, just for you to pray about. That's a Christian way of gossiping. Would you want someone to do that to you? Then why do it to them? Be unselfish. Be generous. Be a good listener. God gave us two ears and one mouth. Exercise patience and servanthood. Be a reader. Study to show yourself approved unto God. You know, it doesn't matter what the examiner says. It doesn't matter what the accreditating agencies say. There's an ultimate final exam that all of us will go through. And you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, ye cursed, into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God's vote, his verdict, is what really matters. A reading Christian is a growing Christian. Readers make leaders. In fact, Napoleon used to hand books out to his general saying, if you want to lead, you must read. Be disciplined. Be disciplined first in your time. Value your time. Time is valuable. I've heard a lot of people say, time is money. Time is a lot more valuable than that. You might get more money, but you'll never get more time. A person who steals your time, even if you steal or waste your own time, is stealing more from you than a lot of money. I mean, time is super valuable, which is one reason why we cram so much into our camps. We want to make sure that we don't waste our time. We want to redeem the time. Avoid time-wasting activities. And just off the top of my hat, top of my head, watching TV, reading the newspaper, playing video games sort of come up as some of the top three time wasters out there. We had one missionary who proudly told us how he played some video game 12 hours straight on Saturday and worked his way up to some certain level. And I was aghast. Next thing he was outraged because one of our cats at the mission, Sophie, came and sprayed directly into his computer tower right where the disc went and destroyed his computer. And he was complaining at the planning meeting. We applauded Sophie and well done, Sophie, outstanding. This is God's judgment upon you for wasting your time on those stupid, mind-rotting, mindless video games. Good on you, Sophie. Go for it. Outstanding. He was quite unhappy. Well, we finally took that, because we couldn't do anything with that computer tower, we took it to the shooting range and blew it to hell. Redeem the time. Exercise efficient time management. I mean, have checklists. Write down to-do lists. We call them in our home a rabbit schedule. You know, is it? And Pooh Bear, rabbit's got a schedule, ticks off the list. If you're the kind of person who has a list and you, even when you do something that wasn't on the list, you add it in so that you can tick it. I mean, it's a good principle, the sense of accomplishment, being doelgerig, having your aim and purpose and following after a plan. Time is the most valuable, non-renewable resource on earth. The water can come down, watered earth, flow into the ocean, or evaporate through the air and come down the clouds again. You might get the water again. You'll never, ever, ever get the time again. You only have one life. It'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Develop a high standard of work ethic. Find a godly mentor. Make use of the means of grace. I praise God that I had a godly mentor in Francis Grimm in Hospital Christian Fellowship. Learn what it means to engage in spiritual warfare. Select your friendships carefully, remembering that bad company ruins good character. Now, we have here General Shai Mulder, who has written a number of outstanding books, How to Be More Than a Conqueror. And if you go to the Valley of Grace, here is the architecture, just glorifies God, draws you to Christ. Here you've got the flags of many nations. 30 different nationalities have come to the mission. Sometimes they can have 60 languages on the base. And it is such a wonderful opportunity. If you're wondering what to do for the next year, can I recommend you consider going to Back to the Bible and being involved in either service or study. And by the way, if you're involved in service, they'll get you involved in study anyway, as it is, because Back to the Bible is true to its name in what they do, in their devotions. I've seen so many different ways that people are mentored there. They don't just study, they do evangelism. And as the general said, holidays are for outreaches, evangelism, missions. If you need a mentor, you'll find it Back to the Bible. Be careful what education you invest in. Be very selective about the kind of entertainment you expose your heart and mind to. Consider, before you leave high school, you've put 15,000 hours into the classroom. Now, maybe you didn't have the choice. Your parents made the choice. Okay, for parents, be very careful what education you put your children into. 15,000 hours of school. And to be honest, most of it today is not just useless. It's often worse than useless. It's destructive. During that same time, the average young person has listened to 10,000 hours of, well, music might be the wrong word, but noise, masquerading as music. During the same time, they will have watched, is it something like 30,000 hours of TV, videos, films, or other screen-related activity? 30,000 hours. And during the same time, if they're a church-going family, they may have spent from 800 to 1,200 hours in church, Bible study, youth, and so on. And they will have spent roughly 200 hours of that time before they've left high school having a meaningful conversation with their parents. That's an average of a church-going family. Who can compete with that? Sunday school and youth cannot compete with godless education on the level of 15,000 hours, TV, 30,000. Well, praise God, we didn't bother to have cursed TV in our home, but it's shocking. If you just look at the use of time, do you know that the average person spends 35 hours a week watching TV? 35 hours a week. When people ask me, how do I have the time to write the books and do the things I do? Simple answer. I don't watch TV. I don't read newspapers. That gives me 5 hours a day extra that most people have just thrown away. Flushed down the toilet. Thrown in the pit latrine, to use the term of Al Baker. Be cautious in your finances. Now, I might have been reckless with my life and I might have taken a lot of risks, but I haven't taken many risks financially. Mainly because somebody drummed into my head early on, never get into debt. Never, ever, ever get into debt. Stay out of debt. Whatever you do, don't get into debt. And in the 35 years our mission has been going, I've seen many ministries crash and burn, go bankrupt and so on. Because they lived by presumption instead of by faith. Never live in debt. The debtor is slave to the lender. Do not outspend your income. You've got to earn more than you spend. That's basic. And you've got to tithe. I mean, if you don't tithe to God's work, then you're actually stealing, Malachi says. Stealing from God. Be generous. We're told, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. And God pays his debts. You can't outgive God. Work all you can. Earn all you can. Give all you can. Save all you can. As long as ever you can. Do a thorough job of repentance and restitution. The one thing that Kwasabantu does is they insist on their people writing a list of all the things that they've done wrong to confess and working through it. And they don't just mean for an hour. I mean, they get the people doing this for weeks. Some people it takes months. It's like an onion, you know, you peel off one layer and that reminds you of others, which leads to others. You do restitution, you write this apology letter, return that. Goodness, then you remember a whole bunch of other things. In fact, considering how much of a mess we've often made, depending how long it took for us to come to repentance, there can be, for some people, years of restitution and repentance. Know the Ten Commandments. Consistently try to apply them in your daily life. We've done a whole series in audio and book on applying the Ten Commandments to every area of life. Be kind to animals. A good man is kind to his animals, but the wicked are cruel to theirs. People who are not kind to animals have a sickness in their soul, and they are alienated from their Creator. The Creator loves his creation, and we should too. Be disciplined. Make use of both physical and spiritual exercise. Count your blessings, name them two by two. Count your blessings, name them four by four. Count your blessings, name them by the score, and it will surprise you, but there are millions more. There's another one. Count your obligations, name them one by one, and it'll surprise you what the Lord wants done. Prayer, just do it. My wife's got a t-shirt which says, "Shut up and run." She's a phys ed teacher, understandable. But I'd like to see someone wearing a t-shirt that says, "Pray, just do it." People have got so many excuses as to why they can't pray. When you ask a person onto an evangelistic outreach, "I need to pray about it." You ask them to the prayer meeting, they need to pray about that too. And they don't turn up. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and run the race before you. Run the race. I mean, these cheetahs are airborne. They are intelligently designed. Tell me this evolved. These characters are fast. And those on the Great Commission course will meet some of our friends. When you go into battle, use energy, aggression, like a coiled spring. You must be able to spring into action, whether it's just a minute debate, whether it's as evangelism. You've got to be like a coiled spring, ready for action at a moment's notice. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You are what you read. This is, you notice what's at the center of the frontline badge? The sword, which is a cross, the sword of the Spirit, and the open Bible, the Word of God. Bible-based, Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-led. Books are stepping stones to success. Some years ago, the Gallup brothers undertook an exhaustive investigation into what makes some people more successful than other people. And using the polling techniques that made them famous, the brothers wrote a book, and one of their conclusions was, successful people read. They provide foundations for constructive conversation. George Gallup found reading is essential because it makes a person ready to converse. People who read have a broad knowledge, and they've got more information with which to make evaluations and decisions. A library is gym for the mind. A lot of people go to the gym, and that's good, but we also need to go to the library. Reading is to the mind what exercise is to the body. And just like you can stretch your muscles, you can stretch your brain too, literally. Books are minds alive on the shelves. You can get inspiration from examples of excellence. By taking up one of these books and opening it, we can hear the voices of people from far away in time and space. By reading, we can hear great people of long ago speaking to us, mind to mind, heart to heart. If it was announced that Martin Luther was speaking at a particular church, if it was announced that John Calvin was speaking at a particular venue, if it was announced that Charles Spurgeon was speaking anywhere, if it was announced that Dr. David Livingstone was speaking at an event, many Christians from all over the world would show up. But we need to remember that when we open up a book by one of these authors, we can hear them speak. We can learn from them in a greater way than you can from just having heard them at a single meeting. I've met some great Christian leaders. I've met Dr. James Kennedy many a time. I've heard him preach many a time. I've learned more from reading his books than I could have from attending his services and seminars. Dr. R.C. Sproul, I've even preached in his pulpit with him sitting in the front row, one of the most frightening things to do, one of the greatest theologians that was in our lifetime. Dr. R.C. Sproul had me many a time at his church ministering. But I've learned far, far, far more from him reading his books than I have meeting him, discussing over tables. There's a certain thing you can learn from interaction, but you know, you can learn more from the books. And I could continue with many other leaders like that. Books are character shaping. A man is known by the company he keeps, but it's also true that a person's character is to a large extent developed by the books he or she reads. You know, if you've read the books of some authors, you know them better. And some people, even in that person's family. A man is known by the company his mind keeps. And a book is good company. We need to learn from the past. The reading of all good books is like conversation with the finest men of past centuries. It's soul food. In books lies the soul of the whole past time. Books give you an advantage. Mark Twain says, the man who does not read good books has no advantage over the man who cannot read them. We've got a lot of people in the world today who are functionally illiterate. They don't read good books. One person said, the things I want to know aren't books, and my best friend is the man who gets me a book I have not read. Now, we had Emma turned up with a book I hadn't read and didn't have for ages, a book on David Livingstone. In fact, I'd had that book once, and I sent it to the printer for them to take some pictures out, and they kept the book and lost it. And it was sad. So it's one book of the Livingstone collection that I'm missing, and there you've got a best friend brings you a book you don't have. And that's, books are great treasures and presents. Walt Disney said, there is more treasure in books than all the pirates loot on Treasure Island. And best of all, we can enjoy these riches every day of your life. Live life to the fullest. Yes, okay, that, by the way, is a bath. I wouldn't recommend having all your books in a bathroom like that, but there we go. Hopefully this person doesn't splash. In a very real sense, people who've read good literature have lived more than people who have not read. It is not true that you only have one life to live. If you can read, you can live as many lives and many kinds of lives as you wish. I mean, there have been times I've been so immersed into the Great Trek, into the First World War, into the Eastern Front, into the Africa Corps, into the Viking raids. I mean, it's just like you're immersed in it, and it's just incredible to get into some of these great books. And I'm talking about books of excellence, of course. There's a lot of trash out there to avoid. But this provides us with secrets of success. If you encounter a man of rare intellect, we should ask him what books he reads. So I've had the chance to ask people like Brother Andrew and George Verver, great leaders, what are the books that have most shaped your life? Asking James Kennedy and R.C. Sproul and Gary DeMar and George Grant. And I think it's so important to, if you think this person has achieved an area I want to, find out what books he finds most important and master those books. These are truths that transform. Charles Spurgeon counseled his students, master those books you have, read them thoroughly, bathe in them until they saturate you. Read and reread them, digest them. A student will find that his mental constitution is more affected by one book he has mastered than by 20 books he has merely skimmed. And choose your books wisely. Daniel Webster recommended it's better to master a few books than to read indiscriminately. He contended that to master a few great writers is preferable to skimming a multitude of lesser works. Tried and tested is better than the current fashion. If you must read only the new or the old, I would counsel you to rather read the old, tried and tested first. It's a good rule after having read a new book, don't allow yourself another new one until you've read an old one in between. You'll see why I say that at the moment. I read old books because I want to learn from those who built civilization up rather than from those who broke civilization down or stood by and did nothing while others broke it down. Reject the shallow and the superficial. Inferior books are to be rejected in an age and time when we courted by whole libraries of books. Or even worse, by just the light box that our cats try to walk over and protect us from and break the spell that's sort of hypnotizing us. You have been lied to about everything. The illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read and cannot write, but those who cannot unlearn the many lies they've been taught to believe. The first time I ever heard Ronald Reagan speak, 1988, in Washington, D.C., I heard him say, "It's not that liberals are uneducated. It's just that so much of what they know just isn't so." A child who reads will be an adult who thinks. Reading to children, even before they can understand words, teaches them to associate books with love and affection. In my home, Dad's reading time with children every night was one of the most cherished times. We would spend hours reading, multitudes of books. My daughter Andrea was continually, "One more book, just one more book." I think one night we went through 16 books. And the biggest complaint my wife had about Andrea was, "I just went into the room, it's 11 o'clock at night, and she's reading Shakespeare, 11-year-old, under the blanket for the torch. I mean, how can you get angry at someone for that? I mean, that's like outstanding, excellent." Savor the special. No man's life is long enough to read even those books that are good and great and famous. So why waste your time on the superficial? Select the superlative. Don't waste your time on lesser works. I mean, why would you waste your time on The Shack when there's Pilgrim's Progress? I mean, really, why would you waste your time on Harry Potter when you've got C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien? I mean, read the real thing, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Harry Potter's cheap junk, just packaging witchcraft. Francis Bacon wrote, "Some books are to be tasted, others are to be swallowed, but a few books are to be chewed and digested." Read the best books first, or you may not have the time to read them at all. Books are preparation for life. You can never have too many books or cats. Many times the reading of the book has made the future of the man, and I know that's true. For example, I had just read When Hell Was in Session by Senator Jeremiah Denton, Captain Jeremiah Denton, who had been 7.5 years in Hanoi Hilton, meaning the concentration camp in North Vietnam, as a prisoner of war, tortured. I just read the book when I had my first prison experience. And so much of what I read of his prison experience and how he kept sane and the torture and so on helped prepare me. An ounce of practical is worth a ton of theory. But the theory often prepares you to handle the practical. Employ your time in improving yourself by other men's writing so that you shall come easily by what others have labored hard for. Do you understand? It can take a person a lifetime to write some books and put their lifetime's insights in it, and you can have it for a few hours to benefit from the condensed best of this person. Next to the Holy Scriptures, the greatest aid to the life of faith may be Christian biographies. The reading of good biography forms an important part of a Christian's education. It provides him with numberless illustrations to use in his own service. He learns to assess the true worth of character, to glimpse a work goal for his own life, to decide how best to attain it, what self-denial is needed to curb unworthy aspirations, and all the time he learns how God breaks into the dedicated life to bring about his own purposes. We can read those who change the world. Biography transmits personality. Who can gorge the inspiration to the cause of missions from biographies of people like William Carey, Adoniram Judson, Hudson Taylor, Charles Studd, Martin Luther, David Livingstone? They had impact. History is the lengthy shadow of great men and women. Enrich your life, your work, your family, and your ministry. This is my daughter Andrea's cat, Juliet. Those that love reading have everything within their reach. For a small price, you can visit other lands and great periods of history, learn from some of the greatest minds and world shapers, grapple with great issues, and learn in the space of a few others what others have grappled with, researched, and studied for their whole lives. Ordinary people have big TVs. Extraordinary people have big libraries. A house is not a home without cats or books. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I look at this, I think of my daughter Andrea, regularly caught reading under the covers after lights out. If kids are entertained by two letters, TV, imagine the fun they can have with 26 letters of the alphabet. Open your child's mind and imagination by opening a book. And don't judge a book by its movie. For example, The Great Escape. How many of you would have seen that film? Do you know that the man who led The Great Escape came from Hermanus? And he's a South African. And in the British movie, they decided to cover the fact that the man who organized The Great Escape was a South African, because South Africa was very unpopular in the 60s. So it just changed the history, and they suddenly had a British chap doing the job. He was actually the big X who organized it all. And if you go to Hermanus, you'll see at this war memorial, they've got a memorial for Squadron Leader Roger Bushell, RAF, pilot in 601 City of London Squadron, shot down over Calais, 1940, captured, escaped twice before being interned in Stalag Luft 3. He organized the Great Escape, where 76 men escaped through the tunnel 24th to 25th of March, 1944. The famous book, The Great Escape, was filmed twice commemorating these epic events. And here's families from Hermanus. They've got the memorial there. You see, the film doesn't tell you what really happened there. Like, for example, you could go into the Battle of Britain film, where they leave out the fact that the character which Robert Shaw plays is Sailor Milan, who was the great South African air ace. He is the greatest air ace of the Allied side in the war, on all fronts. And they didn't give him a South African accent, made no reference to being South African, because they didn't like South Africa at the time. You see, often Hollywood, or Sheffield in the case of Britain, decide to change the story because it doesn't suit their politics. To destroy a people, you must first sever their roots. A library is hospital for the mind, and our minds need work. A Bible is worth all the other books which have ever been printed. If the Bible was mere fantasy, why is it banned or restricted in over 50 countries? Nobody goes to jail for reading Harry Potter or Alice in Wonderland or The Shack. Education starts with the Bible. Study to show yourself approved unto God. The Bible may hurt you with the truth, but it will never comfort you with a lie. Time spent alone with God is never wasted. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto my path. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank and praise you for your love, for your grace, for your word, the Bible, for the truth which sets us free. Lord, give us an insatiable appetite, hunger, and thirst for you, for your word, for righteousness and truth. For we pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.